Welcome to
Cabronas y Chingonas,
a queer and Latinx podcast where we talk about
queer and Latinx media such as
Las Aparicio,
a Mexican telenovela that did not get talked about enough,
like at all in IMBD.
Go on YouTube and just Google Julia and Mariana, dude.
Spend your whole day watching that. Seriously.
Day. I wish day. It took me 2 weeks.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I can binge watch that in about 2 days.
This novella was, I don't know how long, and it was on Netflix for such a long time, but even just watching the scenes between these two girls and this crazy relationship, dude, it was crazy.
Feelings. Too many of them.
Dude, and like, they talk about all kinds of serious issues, not just the ones that I care about.
Clearly not just the ones you care about.
Do you believe love that love? I can feel something inside myself. I really don't think I'm strong enough, no. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What you doing, girl?
I'm drinking this weird peach drink that you brought. It just tastes like soda.
Yeah, but it's not gonna hit you like soda, so...
Oh,
dear. So anyways, oh my god, dude, have you heard about the L word coming back?
Yes, and I heard a few people have already signed on.
Okay, so who's Shane, Bet, and Alice? I don't know their real names because I'd never cared to learn them.
I never learned them either.
Because those are the names that matter. Bet, Tina. Not Tina. Ooh, not Tina. Bet, Shane, and Alice.
I don't know. The only character I didn't like from the L word was Dana, and then she died, so I kind of felt bad about
it. Whoa, you didn't like Dana?
I didn't like her.
She's kind of neurotic, but I'm kind of neurotic, so that's why I like her.
Yeah, no, I couldn't relate to her, and I wasn't attracted to her, so... Oh, well.
Dude, we're not supposed to find value in characters
based on
their attractability.
I didn't feel like she was a deep character. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I just
didn't like her. It's fine. I mean, my favorite character was Alice. I don't know why I
that's the thing about Dana, too. I didn't like Dana, but I liked everyone that she dated.
That chef, Laura.
The chef. Ugh, triggered. Anyways.
Alice is one of my favorite characters, so I'm glad she's coming back. And
I mean, you're meant to love her.
You're meant to love Alice. She's likable. And she's Shane, the voice of the show, is likable as a friend. As a friend, Shane is likable.
Okay,
she's a really supportive friend.
Yeah,
she's the person you want to be your friend, but nothing else.
And at times, she's the person you want to be.
Yeah, you want her to be your best friend. You don't want to ever date her.
Honestly, I envied her to like no end whenever her and Sarah Shahi's character.
Oh my god,
Sarah Shahi's character
she's
blew my
beautiful.
Mind. She blew my mind in that show, and then blew my mind again because she's a completely different character and person of interest.
Also queer,
and
though.
I adore her in Person of Interest so much. And you know, there wasn't even that much queer content in that show.
No,
really,
it didn't, in retrospect,
but it was still amazing. Like, I watched that entire series and I loved it.
Ooh,
and Taraji.
Scenes, of course.
Taraji was in the first.
Taraji was the reason I watched Person of Interest to start with.
I was
in love with her. I always was, because she was always in the movies that I watched.
She was a completely different person in that
show. She was
show.
Popping after that. After Person of Interest is when she started getting good
roles. Oh, because she went to Empire. No, it's because she went to Empire.
She started making movies. No, she was in, like...
She made movies.
Baby Boy is old. No, but she started getting into mainstream media.
Because
in the past,
of
she
Empire.
Was in, like, Baby Boy.
No, she left Person of Interest because of Empire.
No, she
after
made a movie
Empire.
Within that time. Didn't she? Like, she made, like a Kevin Hart movie or something.
That's not why she blew up. If she did, that's not why she blew up.
No, she blew up because of Empire.
It was Empire, and then after that, she started getting mad roles. Hidden Figures, if you haven't seen it already.
If you haven't seen it, y'all.
Hidden Figures is amazing.
Let it change your life. It's
so Taraji, like, I became a total huge fan and person of interest. We veered off topic. yeah, but...
like we always do.
That's who they should have on, though, where it is Taraji.
Oh, my... Dude...
you look
creators of L word,
creators, developers,
this
hire
is
me
from
as your
a cabrona
first of all.
Un chingona, and we're telling you put people of color real people of color. Not only in the cast. But she should have been a character representing someone else. Because I heard her Latina accent and I was like, no offense. Like, I know mine is really bad. I know I speak Spanish really todo a la chingada. Pero no lo hablo así. Like, I talk it better than her, at least. So.
Yeah. Like, we've talked about this before where, like, you know, Mexicans should play Mexicans on TV. They just should.
Because there's plenty of queer Mexican
it's women. L.A. Like, L.A. In L.A., come on. Studio City, you're not going to find one. Exactly. You're not going to find a Mexican.
How are you going to be in L.A. and not have, like, a lot of Latinas in your show? Come on.
Yeah.
People of color, period.
So, point blank. I think that they'll probably definitely try to sprinkle some people in, but I hope it's not, like, a cheap ploy.
I have a question, though. Is it realistic for that many lesbians to hang out? Because, I mean...
No, it is.
I think it is. I know a lot of people have like a big lesbian friend group, but I unfortunately don't. Lesbian friend group.
Yo, I sometimes go like an entire... I used to, like, whenever I used to not live at home, like, I would go an entire weekend without seeing a straight person. Like, it's just what happened.
I envy you.
It wasn't all lesbians. I will say it wasn't all lesbians.
Joe is looking at me indignant. Like, how dare you?
It wasn't all lesbians.
I always see you, okay? That. Every weekend. I see you and I love you. And I lift you up. I love you. Anyways.
Yeah.
Brandon's never around straight people? You're not around straight people?
Yeah, ever since I came into your life, you're just like, what's a straight person?
I usually am around straight people. Congrats.
You're welcome, Brandon. You're welcome, Joe. Your life is so gay now.
Your life is so much more full and realistic. And
all the colors of the rainbow.
All the colors of the rainbow. I work with a lot of queer people. That makes me happy.
I am the only woman in my department, and I am the only queer in my department.
Shout out to that. I think
I'm so lonely.
It's yeah, that's been my like entire queer existence is like I've never been around queer people.
I've always been surrounded by people and I've always loved it.
No, I've always been surrounded by queer men. Excuse me. Okay. I've always been surrounded by queer men. Shout out to Jamie. Shout out to
yeah, I can see that. For sure. The queer like men less in my life. Less women because
but not women. Yeah. But I was in a like committed 6-year relationship, so I wasn't trying to be around any lesbians.
Yeah, see, I'm not that insecure. Like,
no, it wasn't about insecurity. It was just like I didn't go to places like that to seek out queer women.
I didn't seek out any of my friends. I promise you that. Like Cordarian and Bunny and like every gay person in my life. Like I did not seek them out for one second. But like they came in my life and I kept them.
Yeah, it's more been queer men and like that's.
I guess I've been lucky. Really. I don't know.
I know. I think I've been lucky with the queer dudes in my life. Shout out to them.
Definitely really hoping, because, you know, obviously the L word, the original, was like these really rich bitches in LA.
Yeah, doing impossible shit.
So in that, it was realistic. The fact that they were rich in LA, in that it's realistic that they were all white. Because. Right. So, I mean, but.
Economic
don't
disparity.
Do it, you know what I mean, like you can't just do a show with all white people anymore.
In LA,
like,
not anymore
because there's some rich Mexicans now, guys. You gotta accept it.
There have always been rich Mexicans, there have always been rich Latino people in LA, so that's why I'm like, wait a minute, what are you guys doing? Like,
yeah,
hold up, like, no, there has to be more people of color, and I want realistic I don't want realistic storylines. I'm okay.
Damn. I mean, I'm just kind of wondering where they're going with it. Like, are they going to do a whole revamping or is it just kind of like a nostalgic one season thing?
Yeah, because if Tina, why do I keep bringing up Tina? Anyways, Bette, Alice, and Shane are in it. I wonder what direction they want to move it.
Like, are they going to have new characters? I feel like maybe they're veering towards a solely nostalgic thing, in which the case they can't really bring in POCs.
I honestly think it's going to go the way the recent season of Arrested Development went.
Which is horrible.
Yeah. Not necessarily like how, you know, the season went, but it's like, it's not going
to
be.
Well, that's why I don't want it to be like a continuation of the L word. I want it to be.
New stories.
New people. Like, okay, so I'm trying to think of like a good example where Fuller House, it sucks ass, right? Completely sucks ass.
I wouldn't watch
Fuck
it
you,
ever.
Fuller House.
I tried to watch it. It was weird.
But they have, you know, the younger characters as adults, and then they have new younger characters that they kind of focus on. I think that would be a direction to take it in. I don't know. Kind of like Girl Meets World.
I don't know. I don't.
Girl Meets World. That's a really, really good direction that they could take it in. I don't know.
Would it be about their teenage?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, oh, we can't expect all of their kids to be gay, though. You yeah. know what I mean? So that wouldn't be realistic. So, I mean,
maybe they like own that. What is that restaurant planet? The planet. Maybe they own the planet still, and maybe it's still a lesbian club, and yeah. that's where we meet those new three crew. Characters that are old.
That'd be interesting.
And then the new characters that go there, because I would feel
they should,
like
they should instead call it the Q word.
The what?
Queer, instead of the L word, the Q word.
Because, yeah, and I feel like people's perceptions of, like, trans men and the whole trans storyline.
Their bi storyline was horrible, too. Like, their bi representation was a bit shitty. I kind of feel bad for that
They're
community.
Bringing in new writers, though, because it's not going
to
be the
same. Oh, they
same.
Have to. Because, honestly.
Rose Trosh or Rose Trosh?
If they want to bring in a new writer's assistant. CYC podcast.
Maite writes.
Good writer, good coffee maker.
Cynthia can also provide any service.
We'll be in LA.
That sounded oddly
soon.
Sexual, but if that's what you need.
No, no, we're not pimping you out, cabrona. No.
No, I'm just saying.
This is why you're the cabrona.
That's why I'm the cabrona, right? Because I'm like, wait, what? But yeah, whatever services you need.
So, I mean, yeah, I have no hopes for it, quite honestly. I have 100 ideas.
I'm still going to watch it because, of course, I bought every single season on DVD.
Do you really?
I used to own it. Now they're not in my custody. But I used to own them. Like, I watched them all. So
I watched them once through and just never had any inclination to rewatch.
As a kid, like, I was super envious of Shane. And I wanted to be her until I realized I was Alice. And it became very real when I realized I was not cool. And
this
I
is
was
like our Sex
Alice.
In the City. Like, are you a Miranda? No, I'm a
yes,
Alice.
This is our Sex in the City. Who are you? Who would you most identify with?
I identify with not one single one of those bitches.
Not Alice?
None of them.
Okay.
I don't identify with any of them. None of them look like me. None of them act like me. None of them are me.
Okay, none of them look like me. Point blank. But I feel like I'm as neurotic as Alice is.
It has been a really long time, so probably if I rewatched it, I'd probably like semi-identify with one of them. I don't know, but it's been so long.
Maybe Jenny, she was a writer, but she was absolutely bonkers.
See, I'm not Jenny.
You're definitely not Jenny. I'm not Jenny. She's the only writer I can really remember.
I'm that foreign chick that like she first meets.
The Italian girl? Yeah. Oh no, that's
I'm just kidding.
Line.
Probably not.
Okay, no comment.
Anyways. But that's interesting. I really do hope that they get some people of color and, not, kind of acknowledge sexual fluidity, maybe.
Yes, genderqueer.
There's 100 things that they could do.
They really tried the trans man thing, but it did not work out right. They need to redo
I don't think that they did too badly with that.
I guess for the time that they... I'm talking about the storyline between Pam Grier and the gender fluid drag king that was... really in love with her. That's what I felt they handled incorrectly. Okay. Because I feel like
Pam Grier's character
was very attracted to this drag king, but she kept making up this thing like, oh, but you're not real woman, you're not a real man. And I felt like that was really like, okay, are we progressive here? I know some people do think that, and I felt like in some way that was someone's truth.
I guess I'd have to rewatch it because you have to kind of find a way to interpret it. Like, are they calling out that hypocrisy? Are they calling out like, well, they're doing this and it's bullshit and they want to show everybody that it's bullshit, or do they actually feel this way?
Yeah, that's what we didn't get a clear,
that's the fine line that they
wasn't defined correctly.
I guess we'll see, because this shit is like very early on. We know nothing yet.
We'll see if it continues. They just announced it, so yeah. It's an announcement. That's interesting. But yeah, anyways.
Speaking of good representation for communities outside of lesbians.
Yes. Talk about it.
So there's a new show on Netflix. I know you've seen it, Gypsy.
It's been super hyped with Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts and Sophie Cookson is in it. She's like the co-star, essentially. It's complicated. It's a great show. It's basically about this like psychoanalysis. Oh my god, she has like a very specific title where she basically is a psychiatrist, essentially.
She's essentially a psychiatrist, yes.
And she basically is, she's fucked up, you know what I mean? Not that psychiatrists don't have problems. Obviously, psychiatrists aren't perfect.
They're humans. Anything. Everyone has problems.
But this particular one, I guess she gets kind of sick of sitting around and only talking to her patients through their problems. And she starts kind of getting overly involved in their lives. And there's a specific one where he's, like, really obsessed with his ex-girlfriend. And she's just like, okay, I'm gonna go meet this girl.
She's like, okay, I want to see what the hype's about.
Yeah, what's the whole deal? Like, I guess, I don't know. I think she kind of has so an alter. Obsessed with me? She has an alter ego, essentially. She has, like...
And her name is Diane.
Yeah, like, she uses a fake name, and it's Diane. But I think she, like, literally goes into this whole other space and then returns to her normal life with her husband and child. Afterwards, and, you know, that way she kind of doesn't feel any guilt about it. It's like she kind of becomes a whole other person. I don't ever see her feeling guilty with her husband.
Nope.
In fact, you see her, that's why I think it's like an actual, like, almost like a second personality, even though she's very similar in both. You know, she has the same kind of attitude and vibe in both situations. But yeah, it's definitely toxic. It's a toxic relationship. The whole, you know, she, like, she's on her husband, but in her mind it's like a whole other thing. Like, the whole thing is really unclear. It's a very unclear thing. Like, is she super aware of what she's doing? Is she doing it on purpose? Why is she, like, it's
I don't know. I feel like it also could be a study on America's idea of what marriage is supposed to be, like, Americans' idea, because I feel like it's a cultural thing. The whole
one man, one woman,
the whole cliche, like, I'm supposed to get all of these things from one person and one person only. Yeah. And I feel like she's exploring that. And I feel like she got bored.
I wish it was that woke, but I just think she's having a bit of a crisis. But at the same time,
no, but I feel like that's point, I feel like that's an American crisis at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, but to your point, it does kind of, like, comment on that system. You know what I mean? Like, obviously she's not satisfied with it, or she's scared of this monogamy and this commitment. And veers off.
I feel like that's a common theme in most American shows about cheating.
But it's always men. So that's what the writer and the creator, Lisa Rubin, I guess that's what she was kind of going for. Like, we always do this with men who have these midlife crises and they go with younger women. This time it's a woman who's having this crisis. It's a woman who's going through all these things that they always portray men as going through. So that's what's supposed to be kind of, you know, progressive about it, and I don't disagree with it.
No.
It's just, it's toxic, and it doesn't lie about that. So I think that's kind of cool. Like, it's not sitting there like, oh, this is your goodbye here. Like, no, it's like, this is a woman who has a lot of flaws.
Yeah, she's complicated.
And she's extremely complicated, I think, even to herself.
Yeah, she doesn't really quite know.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of has the feel of a psycho thriller, but it's not quite that. Like, it doesn't have the content for it. You know what I mean? Like, nobody dies. You know, you don't think anybody's going to die. So that's another thing that was kind of like, that's why there's so much, like, lack of clarity in this show. But it's like a common, like, it's on purpose, I feel, for things to be unclear, because you don't know, is she just obsessed with her patients' lives, or is she obsessed with younger women? Because she, you know, she's obsessed with the life that she no longer has as a young, you know, as an older woman. Because she, you know, towards the end, you find out, you know, she did kind of fuck up one of her younger patients' lives. And
do you think it's about obsession of younger women or loss of self? Like, she's unhappy or both, with herself.
You know, it could be both.
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
But the thing is, she also, like, because at first I was thinking, no, maybe I think it's just she's obsessed with her patients' lives. But then I'm like, no, maybe it is about younger women, because the people that she goes after are always young women. Yeah. That sounds bad. That sounds really bad.
They're not, like, children, guys.
Like,
they're
Yeah.
They're of age.
They're just, she's older, you know? She's obviously over 40 and stuff like that, but she's still very gorgeous, and they acknowledge that. I think she's gorgeous. I guess it's just me.
Naomi Watts has been fine, right? Like, yeah. Girl fine. But I don't know. Like, what I saw common between this and, like, most movies or shows about men going through midlife crisis, or humans going through midlife crisis and cheating on their partners, is that what they feel is what most Americans feel, kind of like trapped in monogamy, and they feel like this one person is supposed to give them everything. I like heard this whole TED talk on like love and relationships about how Americans believe that they should have this adventure, this passion, all coming in from one human being. And a lot of other cultures don't really have a problem with divorce or cheating because they don't have the same expectations as Americans do, this idealized version that I'm supposed to get all of this from one person. And I feel that's what's going on in this, is that she feels like as if her husband isn't giving her adventure, he's giving her stability. And so she kind of reaches outside of her marriage to look for that adventure, that fire, that passion she lost in her life now that she's settled.
I agree with that part of it. Like, yeah. I definitely think it makes a comment on what you're talking about, that America has those expectations. But I think with her, the actual character, she's just totally missing her freedom. Like when she was young, I don't know, because she's obsessed with younger women because she's missing herself as a younger woman. At least that's what I got out of it.
She's feeling trapped. Yeah, she feels as if this is my life forever. She feels like she lost
her identity.
Yeah, like she doesn't think this is...
She feels like she is no longer, you know, like she's never going to have back that younger woman thing, but then she goes and takes it back by being with younger women.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
Very Don Draper of her, you know?
Yeah, yeah. They actually think they mentioned that in one of the interviews with them. But I don't know. Besides all the toxicity and like the negativity and the crazy tension and the slow burn, what I like about it is the chemistry between Naomi Watts and Sophie Cookson. Like, I thought their chemistry was fire. Like, honestly, like, because a lot of the time whenever I watch shows, i.e. Supergirl, for example, like the chemistry between them, like, it's okay, but you don't believe in it. Like, you know they're acting at all times. But between Naomi Watts and Sophie Cookson, it was like, I could have believed that was a real relationship right there. Like, they did an incredible job in acting. And that's no surprise with Naomi Watts, but, like, super props to Sophie Cookson for matching her.
Keeping up, because Naomi Watts is magic at that.
Yeah, so she, like, matched, like, that passion and that tension and that... even though, honestly, before they'd even kiss, right? Like, they meet a few times before they even kiss for the first time. And you're just like, how are they so, like, in their feelings? How are they so angry and so passionate and so feeling all these things and they haven't even kissed? So at times I felt like, or during the beginning, I was just like, this doesn't make sense. They're, like, really overly invested in this thing that isn't even a thing. But then it starts to make sense afterwards. It's, like, super intense. Like, they played it off really well. So if anything, that's what's worth watching to me, is them together, like, really feeling each other out and playing these games and the mind games. Like, I would never put up with somebody treating me like that, right, in real life.
Oh yeah, Naomi Watts is, like, treating her like
she
trash.
Treats her like shit sometimes, and
right back, girl's all down for it.
No, but and she, like, fights back at it too. I don't know, so they're extremely strong personalities kind of fighting against each other, but at the end of the day, like, they worked with what they were given as far as, you know, the writing goes, and they did everything. Like, they
if
did
it wasn't
shit.
For Naomi Watts acting, I wouldn't have watched the whole thing, honestly.
If it wasn't for their chemistry, I don't think I would have gotten through it. But it was just kind of like, you want to see it again, even if it's going to take you like another 50 minutes, you want to see them just look at each other again. It's that electric. To me,
for you, my favorite part of this whole thing was the daughter.
Oh, the daughter was amazing.
Dolly is amazing. She's a genderqueer character, and she's like, what, 8, 9?
It's a little unclear. Yeah, she turns 8, I believe, or she turns either 8 or she turns 9, and then
she's amazing.
She tells like another little girl who's like her. She has this like little relationship slash friendship.
She's a little girlfriend
with another girl, and it's super adorable. But I guess there's a moment where she tells the girl, she's like, no, I'm a boy. And then, like, kisses her or something like that.
Yeah, it's so cute.
And she wants to cut her hair short. And the, you know, the parents aren't dicks about it. Like, they let her dress how she wants. She dresses kind of
boyish. They let her cut her hair.
And eventually they let her cut her hair, yeah.
I love that they're so supportive of her. She's the whole reason why I watched this entire show.
Yeah.
It was for Dolly,
and
the daughter.
It ties into her issues. Like, even though she wants to be a progressive mother and she loves her kid to death, she has, like, she's struggling to give up the idea of having a daughter, I think.
Yeah, that's...
So she's definitely struggles with it. I like that. I like that she struggles. Like, not
and
everything
that's
is
real.
That
that's a human thing, you know?
Like, and she never lets it, like... Well, she barely.
She's very protective of Dolly.
Yeah, she's so protective. Like, she fights it so hard. And
but she's not, like, fighting against it. She's kind of going with it in front of her, in front of Dolly. I just call her Dolly.
That's the one thing she does, right? Like, she screws over a lot of people in the show.
She's a really good mom.
But with Dolly, as much as she struggles and as real as those struggles kind of come off, she definitely,
like... That's the one relationship that, as of now, as of the end of season one, is not trash.
Yeah.
I can honestly say, I think...
She eventually does right by her.
Yeah.
She goes a little straight. She wouldn't let her cut her hair and stuff like that. But then eventually she's just like, I need to let you do this.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty...
Yeah.
That's the best relationship in the whole show, is just between a mother and her child.
So I guess those are my two reasons for watching the show. Like, the chemistry between Sophie Cookson and Amy Watts, which I think is amazing. And then Dolly, who's the most adorable kid ever. And you finally get to kind of, because people are always like, you know, how can you let kids do this? And they aren't born this way. And they have all these stupid arguments. And you kind of have... Yeah, you kind of have her as that representation of, like, this is what it looks like, and it doesn't have to be all bad. I don't know.
No, it's good. I loved it. Like, that's what I liked about it. And also because you told me to watch
That's what I told you, too. I was like, they have the most adorable daughter in the entire universe. So if you watch it, if you don't want to watch it for, like, her and her cheating ass, like, watch
I don't.
It for
this. No, she was terrible. But, yeah, it's actually really good.
It got left on a cliffhanger, but I didn't mind it. Like, a lot of people were,
I didn't
like,
mind it either.
A lot of people, and I completely understand this opinion. They think it's, like, too slow. It's too, you know, unclear. And I think all of that is on purpose. And I would have changed a few things, but for the most part, like, I really enjoyed it. I watched it over like 3 days. It was kind of ridiculous. I watched it really fast.
Oh wow, it took me like a week, but it was cool. No, yeah, and moving on to the theme, I guess.
So yeah, I mean, that wasn't the greatest bi representation, but at the same time, they don't really talk about it being a bi thing. It's just kind of like a woman going through some shit. But there are other movies where it is good and they do talk about it and they openly discuss it, like the movie that you want to talk about.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about appropriate behavior. It's not necessarily new, but
not
it does,
appropriate behavior, like how you should act, but like the a movie called Appropriate
it's
Behavior.
Called Appropriate Behavior, yeah, and it was released in 2014. It was directed by Desiree Akhavan. I apologize to you, baby girl, if I said that wrong. I probably did. But it was actually a really interesting movie about dealing with being queer, being bisexual, I guess. And
a person of color.
And like, a person of color.
His
Iranian.
Culture is super strict on that kind of shit. Like
on
ours.
In Iran, they stone people to death for being gay. So... I mean, obviously,
she doesn't live there, but her parents have that, you know, vibe.
She's still Iranian. It's still where she is from. It's about basically just a 20-year-old fucking up. And I found that to be... I found myself connecting to it now that I'm kind of in my mid-20s, realizing that I'm kind of going through a similar struggle. So I definitely saw myself in Desiree's character. She had recently... The whole movie is basically her dealing with a breakup. She wasn't in, I would say, a very healthy relationship either. She gets together with a girl named Maxine, who's kind of like, you know, typical New York lesbian, you know, Park Slope lesbian. Like, I'm going to work at the co-op and volunteer and be vegan kind. But
super, super fucking hipster.
She's a hipster. Okay. And Desiree is kind of a hipster, but she's still kind of finding herself. Finding her identity, and I really like that. I really appreciate
it's kind of weird, like she is finding her identity and stuff, but she still seems like the most authentic character. Like, she seems really real to me.
She's extremely real because she's fucking up, dude. Like,
she's fucking up, and like she like some of the things she does don't make sense to us or to herself.
Yeah, and you can visibly see it in the movie where she's making mistakes, like not coming out to her parents when it's very obvious that she's dating Maxine. There's a scene where her parents come over and she's like, they're like, why is there only one bed? And she's like, well, you know, we save rent. The Italians do this. Like, she made up an excuse for just about everything.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, I was like, yeah, I guess I've been there and done that. Like, I've made that mistake as well. And I thought that was very real and humbling that after the breakup, she winds up in some weird apartment with very strange people and she has to find a new job. where she's teaching children video. And it's very humbling. It's a very real experience to go in your 20s to fall on your ass. And I found that to be, that's why I connected. Like, any 20-year-old can, like, SZA has a whole song about being stuck in those 20-somethings. And that's where Desiree is in this movie. And I found that she's dating the wrong people. She's being petty. She's getting drunk. She's being obsessive. Like, she's anyone fucking up in their 20s, and I love that. Like, that's,
it is really cool. There's, I mean, I think this has kind of come to light lately, but yeah, like, people in their 20s, when they're still teenagers, kind of imagine, like, by the time you're 24, you're gonna have your career already started.
That's cute.
You're gonna have your own you're gonna have your own place, you're gonna have a nice car, you're gonna have all these things. But when you're 24, you're gonna
have your shit together.
You're not gonna have shit. No. most likely. No, and that's fine. Like, that's not a problem, you know what I mean? Like, if you rush into something and then start this career, like, very likely you're not gonna be where you want to be. Even if you know, on paper it looks good, it's not what you want to do.
Yeah. And she's towards the end, she's kind of figuring out how to be alone, figuring out who she is after the breakup, after her getting a job that's extremely humbling to her, because she thought she was a filmmaker, and she ends up making fart videos for children dressed up like Abraham Lincoln. And I think that was really amazing to watch, because I feel like, you know, everyone's kind of,
I like how she eases into that, because she starts off really reluctant with the kids.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, she's like, what do you guys want to film? And they're just like, farts. And it's,
she's like, awesome. That's fantastic, let's do,
she's
it,
she's like, do what you're passionate about. And that was a very low-key message in the movie, like, do what you're passionate about.
Yeah,
go
with the flow, go where life takes you, because it's not gonna go where you thought it would.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't for me. Like, I've started wanting to do art, and then I went and was like, maybe I want to do this, maybe I want to do that. Like, I didn't really find out what I wanted to do until my final year of college. Like, that's crazy.
I changed my major like 5 times, and I think I still got a degree in something that I'm not currently using. Like, I'm doing this.
You're not alone in that. 100 people do that.
Everyone, like, so many people do that. So many people go through that. And so that's what I found so relatable about Appropriate Behavior, is written extremely well, was directed extremely well, and it was by a queer person of color. And I think more people should watch this movie and kind of forget themselves a little bit, you know? Like, it's okay, you're fucking up.
But yeah, those, like, in comparison to Gypsy anyways, but it's definitely a lot better as far as bi representation.
You definitely feel better when at the end of it than Gypsy.
Yeah, it's more of a feel good. It's a kind of a comedy, and it's
like a dark comedy.
Not even that dark, but yeah, it's
not that dark.
Yeah, man. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I think that's a better, more realistic representation for bi people, for bisexual people. And
yeah, because she's actively dating women and seeking out men, and it's fine. There was a threesome scene.
That was very awkward.
That I feel like more threesomes are awkward than they are sexy.
Yes.
And it's more like a question of logistics. It's more of a question of mechanics. It's like, wait a minute, how is this gonna function? You know,
it was so there was a lot of awkward scenes. She's an awkward person in general.
But
she's very talkative and very likable.
Yes, even though she's fucking up the whole time. And I feel like everyone should watch it just to, you know.
I watched that on a rainy day because, you know, I've seen Imagine Me and You 100 times because that's my rainy day feel-good movie. But then one day I was just like, I should really watch something else. So I looked up, you know, comedy, LGBT, whatever the fuck, and I came across Appropriate Behavior. That's a very good rainy day feel-good film.
Yeah, you're definitely going to feel lighter at the end, which is never the case sometimes with lesbian movies. Like, yeah, we discussed,
you end up with, like,
last
Gypsy.
Time sometimes you watch Gypsy and you're just like,
you're like depressed for like 5 days and you're just like, I don't know why
you're questioning, like, do I ever want to be married? And I feel like Appropriate Behavior touches more on, it's okay wherever you are in life, and you don't necessarily need to have everything figured out. And I think that's an extremely important message.
And the relationship, the comments on relationships, basically, like, where you shouldn't let this kind of take over your entire life.
No, because you still have so many other things,
like,
of value.
You know what I mean? Keep your head. You know, that was kind of accidental, but it was like in the first one, Gypsy, like, she's having a crisis because she loses her identity. In the second one, she's like finding her identity. So losing your identity, finding your identity.
Yeah,
you that was an yourself, accidental theme.
You find yourself. I love this. That's kind of cool. Yeah, you guys should definitely watch it. I give it about four conchas. It's really good. I really like it. Well written, queer person of color directing it. That's also extremely special. So watch it. It's on Amazon, I think. Amazon Prime. And if not, just rent it on the Googles. I'm sure you can find it. And improve your life and forgive yourself. It's cool.
Yeah, I give it a half a cafecito because
you don't need much to
watch it.
To power through. Yeah.
I give Gypsy a cafecito per episode. So that's like 13 cafecitos.
Dude.
Because it's like, it's hard. It's very slow. It's very, yeah. So you need one per episode. And that sounds like it's a really bad rating, but I still think it's worth it.
It's still worth watching.
Yeah.
Like, but I did skip over some, like, okay, they're talking again.
I actually watched it. But Appropriate Behavior is really, really.
It's healthy.
Fun, I guess.
It's my lighthearted feel-good movie, but I don't watch it as
much. You don't
watch
it more than once? I've only seen it once.
No, I've seen it about four times. Really? Five times.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, well, I don't have to watch it again. I watched it last week, and I watched it three times before that, so
yeah,
I'm good.
You're good to go.
I'm good to go. But yeah, so I think we're good. I think we can end it out.
Yeah, so I mean, the point of this episode is, like, bi representation matters.
By representation matters.
Yeah, so L word, take note.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay to fuck up in your 20s. Go listen to a SZA song. Listen to the whole SZA album and improve your life. I will continue to say that. Continue watching
and listening and
fuck the fucking L word, man. They better do it right. I'm still going to watch.
We say that about everything.
Of course I'm going to watch. Like, of course that's not going to stop me or deter me at all from ingesting absolutely every single episode and talking about it with you. But
you know, I might actually, you know, hold off and then see if it's good
before I watch it.
I might be that totally gonna watch fucking it. Prick.
You're gonna be that dude.
I might like let you watch it and then you're gonna tell me like, oh, this is good or this is bad or this is mediocre, and then as long as you don't say don't fucking watch this, then I'll probably watch it.
Cool.
Yeah,
like how that works.
I trust you enough.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I trust
you.
You
should appreciate that.
Damn. Okay, right. Bro.
Well, if you guys like watch either of these and you guys want to talk about it with us, you know, we're available.
Send your hate mail at CYC podcast@gmail. Do it.
CYCpodcastmail@gmail.com.
Lit. And then send your comments and
send
DM
your recommendations.
Us. Slide in our DMs.
Yeah, you don't have to email us. I know emailing is kind of a fucking pain. Like, I don't do it.
Just at us.
Yeah, so we're at CYC Podcast on Insta and on Twitter.
Slide in our DMs and tell us if you hate us. That's cool.
Tell us if you have recommendations. We're not running out of stuff to talk about. We have a lot of stuff to talk about.
We have plenty. But I mean,
but it's
if
what we like. So I mean,
yeah, we don't
want
to.
Like, if I want.
There's something that is extremely important to you. And
I think it would be really fun to have an episode where we talk about something that we aren't necessarily interested in. It's kind of queer media. So
I'm down.
That way we can analyze it in a non I love it way.
True that. I mean, all of mine are pretty honest because either. Even when I like something, I can be brutally honest about it.
Yeah.
Appropriate Behavior is actually really good.
Yeah.
And Gypsy is long, but it's good.
It's, yeah.
Drawn
I
out.
Just, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, so Twitter, and if you are an Apple user.
Subscribe.
Subscribe and then, like, rate us and review us. I'm not going to force you to do 5 stars, but you should.
Yeah, it'll improve your life.
We're also on Stitcher. We're obviously on Audio Boom.
See.
If there are other formats or apps that you use, like, give us a quick message and we'll throw it on
Fuck
there.
With us. Fuck with us. Okay. My dad's like, shut the fuck up. I think we're good. I think we can close that bitch out. Like, right, we love cool. You guys.
We like you guys.
Mytha just likes you. I'm overly enthusiastic about everything.
I don't use the L word that easily.
I'm just enthusiastic about shit, so fucking love you guys. Keep listening to us. Keep fucking with us. Bye.
Nah, fuck you. Bye.